Kaylee, where were you last week?
I did the thing just now where I ran up the stairs at full blast, full speed. Whew. I was so excited. I got myself a super sparkle water, got myself all kinds of fun extra drinks and brought them all up and sprinted up the stairs with excitement. And now I'm out of breath.
See, last when you're not telling people is that we have three steps in the house. It's three steps you went
up. You are. Why are you being mean? I'm wondering, this interesting, it's an interesting MO, modus operandi of yours that you like to be nasty little sneaky.
I want to know, did you even listen to last week's episode?
Not yet. No, I just haven't gotten there. Just maybe, and now you're calling me out. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, the other day when I mowed the lawn for 4 hours and I was so sweaty and I thought my heart was going to beat out of my body, which by the way seems to be a recurring theme.
Yes, your poor cardio is a recurring theme.
Yes. Go and on. Then we went down and we talked to our neighbor about something. We were like, we were liaising and enjoying our neighbor Ernie, who lives behind us, and you made snarky, nasty, snido comments about how I never mow the lawn or help. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. As I'm dripping sweat and my red hair dye is dripping pink down my face, you're like, she doesn't do anything. And I found that quite interesting.
Well, that was your annual lawn mowing,
no,
to be fair.
That's not fair to say.
And also, I did make a comment to Ernie that we were going to rent a wood chipper, and then he was going to come into the back yard one day and see a bunch of red hair flying out of the other end.
That's not a nice thing to say. I feel attacked. I feel like I have to put my fists up. I've got to defend myself. Mm-hmm. Because you have been especially nasty today.
Well, listen, I did the podcast without you last week, and I got to say, felt pretty good.
Oh, yeah?
Felt pretty good.
Why don't you ditch me moving forward and just say forget it? I mean, forget about the old Kaylee Greer behind the lens. Just go on with it. Go on with it. Enjoy yourself.
All right. Maybe I will.
All right. Listen, you asked me where I was last week. I'm over my... Listen, I've came up the stairs. I had a minute to sit here and argue with you. And now I feel great. And I'm back to resting heart rate. And I would like to say that I believe last week I was at the dentist. I feel like I'm always at the dentist lately. Was I at the dentist last week?
Yeah, you were. I told everyone you were having your hair installed.
Installed?
Yeah, bolt on.
It's funny. I noticed somebody commented something about my hair being installed, and I was like, what the heck are they talking about, my hair installed? But it wasn't. I did have a hair appointment last week, but it wasn't on the day you recorded. I was
just
at the
to get your roots touched up.
Which, by the way, I don't have fake hair. My hair's real.
It is real. Yeah. I mean, it's not really red, but
no,
it's real hair.
That's fair enough to say. It's fair enough that I wasn't born with this color naturally. Mm-hmm. I didn't come out of the womb, as they say, with this red. But yeah, no, I have no bolt-on hair. I just have real hair.
Hey, you might hear in the background a lot of dog itching happening.
Yeah.
And poor Bubs, he is really allergic to grass, and he is very itchy right now.
Every
I'm sorry,
year
my
at
dude.
This time of year, he has like an explosion of like skin allergies. Buddy, I feel so bad. So we ordered him some special stuff that has really amazing reviews. Some, I forget what it's called. I'd have to look it up. But it's coming tomorrow, Joshua. It's been ordered. It's on 2-day shipping, and tomorrow is the day that it gets here. I feel so bad for him. In the meantime, I was reading that you can do like apple cider vinegar, and you can do baking soda. This is something we can try because we don't have apple cider vinegar in the house right now, but we have baking soda. So apparently you can like mix it 50-50 baking soda with water, and then you put it on there and kind of let it like cake on and let it dry. And then you wash it off after like 20 minutes, and it's supposed to help a little bit with like the what's the word, like
severe itchiness.
I don't want to say like swelling, but whatever that word is. Hold on, I gotta put on my sweatshirt. I'm cold.
Okay. Well, so if anyone listening out there has some good remedies, especially for these pitties that always have these bad skin reactions to stuff like that, let us know. I've been doing some coconut oil on him, and then trying to make sure I wipe his paws when he comes inside and give him more frequent baths, that sort of thing.
Well, but, and that's why he's so slippery all the time. I try to give him a hug, and he slides out of my arms and across the floor.
Yeah, you weren't sure if he was dog or liquid.
Do you remember those things that were like when we were like kids They were like, it was like a plastic, God, I don't know, like a liquid in like almost like a plastic.
In like a tube?
Bag. Yes, in a tube. Yeah. And you could like hold it and it would like slip slide out of your hands. Like, and you would like keep moving it up and it would keep falling.
Yeah.
They were often blue. Like the liquid was often blue.
Or they'd have sparkles in the inside.
Yeah. Well, that's like Joshua right now.
Yeah. That's pretty much the same.
He's so slippery. But his belly is so red. Sam, I feel so bad. Yeah. I feel so bad for the kid. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get, hopefully tomorrow when we get that stuff, that'll work. And if not, we'll call the vet and see about. But, you know, I think you can give him like Benadryl and stuff for like, I don't know, though. I don't know if that's really for itching. Isn't it an antihistamine?
I looked it up, and it doesn't do much with the itching. It does. Oh. It is good for allergies for dogs, for like swelling and that sort of thing. But yeah, not really for the itching. Yeah. So anyways, hit us up on the old Instagrams. Email us.
Yes. Hopefully by the time this is all out and going, though, we'll have a remedy already. But yeah.
Yeah, we do have an email address, by the way. We never give it out. It is podcast@adventuresindogphotography.com.
Oh, wow, that got real exciting real fast.
Yeah.
I want to say thank you so much to Craig for coming on last week and doing an awesome episode with you. I know you already called me out for not listening. I'm so excited to listen to that one because it's about Dandy Dinmont. And I'm so excited, but I was there for like half of that shoot. And then also we are slammed right now with dog breath shoots. So we've been like... I don't know. We did like four or five in a row like last week. And we have so many more coming. We're supposed to have one today. Shout out to Janet and George, her Great Dane. But we got rained out. So we've been kind of moving that around. But anyway, with that said, like our schedule is just so banana sandwiches right now that I really haven't had the time to do any leisure listening to podcasts.
Yeah. With Shutterhound coming up in September and the traveling that we're doing. Oh, it's Miller time. At the beginning of the year.
This one's lime and watermelon. And it's not Bubbly, my favorite brand. It's AHA, which is the competitor.
This episode brought to you by AHA.
Yeah, right. Which I believe is this one owned by Coke?
Probably.
I think it's either Pepsi or Coke, and then the other one's the other company. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Basically all of our shoots this year are taking place in the next like however many like 3 weeks or 4 weeks or something like that, instead of being spread out in a reasonable fashion throughout the year, because we gotta get them in while we can, and we gotta get to work on making the best GD dog photography conference.
Not sure if you guys know what GD means, but if in case you don't, it's goddamn.
Well, now we're gonna have to mark this as explicit.
You're right.
By the way, I did find out that my mom actually does listen to the podcast.
I told you. See? Okay. So I knew she'd call you out if she listened, because you're like, I don't think my mom listens. I'm like, I'm sorry, but your mom told me to check her walk and to check her gait because she knew that's where you got your weird gait from. And I knew she would only know that if she listened to the podcast.
See, I figured she was getting it secondhand, but I found out she does listen. I found out at a family party recently that some of my aunts listen as well.
Oh, come on. That's so nice. Shout out your aunt.
Christine listens at work so she can get her mind off of the craziness that's going on. And
Aunt Christine, shout out.
Woo. Shout out each member of my family individually.
Individually. All right, go. Yes. Your family's huge. Go ahead.
Let's start from oldest and go to youngest.
Everyone's going to love this. Listen to me. My brother listens. Kenny Greer.
Does he just listen to the episode featuring other members of your family, such as your mom?
He did listen to that one. He said he listened to two or three more. Listen, that's a big deal. My brother cannot be bothered to like do anything that isn't his, you know what I mean? Like his like main like idea. So it's really nice that he branched out and listened to this. And that means a lot to me. So shout out to my big brother, Kenny.
I like how it's a big deal to us that people in our immediate family listen to this podcast. And not like the stranger from like... you know, Norway or something.
No, it actually means like a ton that we have, you know, so many people from all around the world listening. That's so crazy.
Yeah. Hey,
that's so crazy. It's so cool.
You were telling me earlier today about a message you got from somebody with like some pretty cool news about Full Sail University. Can you share this on the podcast?
Yeah, I suppose.
I think it's cool.
I don't know. Yeah.
If you won't share it, I'll share it.
You know that I'm just like, I don't like to tout myself. I feel very awkward like touting myself or whatever. I don't celebrate any singular win that I have in life ever.
It's all about how you talk about your accomplishments.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
and you are a very humble person. And no, you don't brag and you don't talk about, I would say 70% of your accomplishments the general public has never been told of.
Yeah, I don't know what that is about me. Somebody like check in with my childhood and see where this comes from, because I like don't allow myself to celebrate wins for I don't know what the reason is. I'll just somebody send me a therapist to talk to about that. But
I thought this was very cool. So tell this story.
This was so lovely. By the way, I haven't even responded to the person who wrote me this message yet. So I feel terrible. I don't remember names. You're kind of putting me on the spot, but I can.
I'm gonna describe more about Kaylee's personality, and that is if she hasn't responded to your message, or if she does respond, but it's 8 months later, it's because the response means so much to her, she can't just do it quickly.
That's exactly
she has
right.
to plan her whole day around it.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
That's like also why that's like another great reason why I need to like talk to a person who knows about psychology. Like, what are you doing, Greer? Why do like I do this all the time with things that are incredibly important. Like, perfection is the enemy of progress or whatever. Like, I cannot act on them until it is the absolute perfect moment to do so if it is something that's really important to me. So like often like big like very kind messages that people send me, or like very thoughtful messages or meaningful things, like I'll read them and I'll get so excited, I feel like my heart's gonna burst, and I think I can't possibly put into words how I feel about this. It makes me so, I'm so moved, or I'm so complimented, I'm so humbled, it makes me so happy. I have to craft like the perfect response that's worthy of this person's like sentiment, and that's a problem for me, because if I don't do it like right then when I read it, or at least within the same day or two,
and then 6 years will go by.
Yeah, well, I mean, life just flies by, because we're just, I mean, I'm very, very, another thing I'm humbled about is being so busy with the business that we just are always go, go, go. And so I just, yeah, if then it will fall through the cracks. But
all right, so tell the story.
Yes, this is, you're right. Well, it's not a long story at all, but basically there's a college in Winter Park, Florida, which is just by Orlando, which a lot of you might know about. If you're like an artistic person, you probably know about this school. It's called Full Sail University. And Full Sail University is a place for, I mean, the disciplines that they like teach are like photography and video and lots of different like and lots of like music based stuff, lots of like very artistic career.
Yeah, it's a creative arts college.
And I mean, Full Sail University churns out, I mean, other than maybe like a couple of schools in Southern California, they churn out like pretty much the best talent in the US or maybe in the world in the creative field, whether that's, you know, like filmmakers or that's musicians or it's like a pretty big deal. It's an amazing school. And it's a fun fact. Sam's a huge wrestling fan, as you guys know. And they also have the WWE has like a wrestling brand that is like fully does its thing like at Full Sail on campus.
It's produced at Full Sail. Yeah, right, it's called NXT.
Yeah.
And it's on what, the USA Network Wednesday nights.
So funny enough, I don't know if it's fair to compare it to like the Harvard for the arts, but it's kind of like, that's the idea, is like the elite of the elite of the best in the world go to Full Sail. At least in my opinion. And I've always looked at that school and completely revered it in every way and wished in my biggest, wildest dreams that I could have gone there. But it was like so out of reach financially. And it was so, I didn't think I was good enough. You know, it's kind of like Juilliard. You know what I mean? You think about a school like that for like dancers or whatever, and you think, oh my god, you know, only the best people in the world go there, and you have to be from like an elite family, and you have to be like ridiculously like god-given like savant talented, right, to go there. And that's what I think about Full Sail anyway. So, and actually my ex-boyfriend went there. I was in a band when I was in college, kind of a sidebar.
And we're never gonna get to the story.
No, I'm getting there. This is the story. That's not fair to say. This is the story. And he went to Full Sail, my ex-boyfriend, who was the drummer in my band that I was in, and he was an incredible drummer and a great musician, and he ended up getting into Full Sail, and I was like so blown away and like so excited for him and so deeply, deeply, like, I guess, in a way envious, you know, because I just always wanted to go to a school like that. And I thought, but I just thought I'd never be good enough. So I would go on campus and stuff with him and like just look around and think like, God, this is for like the like best in the world, huh? Like how amazing. Cool. I would never fit in here. Cool. You know, whatever. And anyway, so the long, long story short is some absolutely lovely person who I'm going to look at her name right now because I think that's only fair. She was the one who shared this with me, which was so incredibly lovely. Let me just find it. I'm looking. I'm sorry.
Is this good radio?
Yeah, you fill in the gaps for me for like 1 second because I would like to shout her out if I can. Oh, gosh. I don't know. You should see how many messages I have on my Instagram.
Oh, you just get so many messages every day.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. Okay. I found it. This is Danielle Travers. So, Danielle Travers, let me see. You are from Soul Friends Photography. Soul Friends Photography. That's so sweet. That's so cute. But anyway, so Danielle, thank you so much. You just made my day by sending me this message. But basically, the long story short of it was that her husband, I think she said it was her husband, goes to Full Sail. And he's in, I think, like videography classes or like filmmaking classes. But his professor, you know, said, listen, as like filmmakers, you're going to want to look at a lot of photography. You know, photography is a big part of obviously like what filmmakers do and what video, you know, kind of people do because they have to compose scenes and stuff, you know. And I guess this professor pulled up, I don't know, like five people or something, like the top five photographers like that he felt that everybody should see when it comes to like creating amazing art. And He pulled up Dog Breath Photography and said, like, this girl is the best pet photographer in the world. Like, you have to look at her work. You can't miss this. You have to see it. I don't know if you can sense in my voice that I'm incredibly uncomfortable telling the story right now that Sam forced me to tell because I don't, you know, it's hard for me to say those words about myself, but I don't know. I just couldn't believe that. I was like so flipping blown away because I have such a personal connection to Full Sail in such a way that I always felt like I was never good enough, that I never would be good enough to be like, I don't know, a part of a school like that. And then like here it is these years later, like full circle, where one of the professors is teaching the students to look at my work as like a like bar for mastery in terms of like technicality and composition and art. And this just absolutely blows me away. And I'm so like weirdly uncomfortable. I don't know what's wrong with me that I'm uncomfortable telling this, but I am so, it just made my day. And I just briefly told Sam in the car, like, oh, I got this message that like made me cry earlier today. And I told him very briefly. And now I've really told you guys in a very long form way. So yeah, thanks for indulging me. And well, thank you, Sam.
It's worth sharing. And I'm very proud of you. And it's well deserved. And we have gotten messages before, you know, with different, you know, people in photography classes in either high schools or colleges, like saying that, like, oh, we studied your work today or something, which is,
yeah, I get
very
that.
Cool.
I get that like a lot, like,
but I think coming from a school that you really like respect to and knew about and even dreamed of going of at some point, and you just kind of skipped over the, like the going there part and went right to like the being studied by the students
that's
part.
That's so wild.
It's pretty,
I mean, I don't know if
cool.
I went right to it. It took me a while, but
I mean, yeah, you skipped over yeah. it and put in 13 years of super hard work photographing thousands
it's
of dogs.
It's so wild, but though. I mean, it's so incredibly humbling. So Danielle, if you listen to this podcast, you absolutely made my day, my week, my year, so thank you. That means the whole world to me. Yeah, there is a guy, I think he's in Montreal or somewhere like that, like he's in Canada, and I want to say he speaks French because I've seen his presentation before, but I couldn't understand it, but all I knew was I was seeing pictures of myself up on his like big huge screens. But basically this guy is like a motivational speaker, and he goes all over North America like speaking to high schools about like, you know, just dreams and like what it takes to kind of conquer your dreams and like this type of whatever motivational speaking for life. And he talks about me. He asked me many years ago, like I got an email from him many years ago asking if he like could tell my story, which was wild because I didn't know him. I'd never, you know, like we had never talked before, but I think he saw some articles about my work and like, this was even before that we did like the Nat Geo stuff. I mean, I actually had a Nat Geo cover, which was insane and incredible. But we didn't have the television show yet. He did a whole, he had the whole part of his, it wasn't the entire thing wasn't about me, but there was like a, you know, like a 10 minute part about me and dog photography and what if I would have given it up when everybody told me it was stupid and what a silly dream to have. And, you know, this whole thing. So he ended up emailing me and asking like permission to tell my story and all that. So that was pretty wild. And those types of things come about from time to time, but it's so mind blowing because you're in your own little, you're in your own little space inside your brain. You know what I mean? Like just creating your work. I just keep my head down as much as I can, just creating my work and finding like the joy that it brings like me on the inside without realizing that it has the like potential and the power to affect so many other people.
Yeah,
it's really
no,
cool.
It's inspiring to hear about like different types of ways to make a living, you know, because I'm sure that's kind of what his talk was about. And it's like, you know, check out this girl photographs dogs for a living, like for an actual working like living, like there's no other source of income or whatever. And I always tell people it's a ridiculous way to make a living. Like you think about it, it's ridiculous, but it's incredible.
Do you remember the original theme song that I wrote for this podcast? And I was like, Sam, how about this? And it was this: photographing dogs, photographing dogs, photographing dogs for a living.
Oh yeah, we.
That was it. And you voted it right off the island.
No, we used it for like a podcast.
It was
like
the
a
special for the Kelby podcast.
Yeah, we did a special episode for Kelby One a couple years ago, and I was like, what do you want the intro to be? And you sang that, and I was like, oh, okay, give me 20 minutes. And then I went and recorded all the instruments, and I was like, all right, come in and sing it.
But it's funny though, like you say, like making a living at this, and like what a wild thing. I have 2 points on that, but one of them is that I went to my high school reunion a couple weeks ago.
Oh my god, yeah, you did.
And it was such a flipping blast. I can't even tell you like what an absolute joy, truly. But I graduated, well, it's
so your 50th reunion, right?
Yeah, my 50th, yeah. I graduated from a really small, or at least I went to school with, I didn't actually graduate with these kids. I went to a different high school like right at the end. But
so you did graduate high school.
Anyway, whatever. You just calm down. but this was these were like my childhood best friends, you know what I mean? And we had like an extremely small class, under 100 people. Everybody was super close and super tight. And there was like just, it was just like a really beautiful, like, upbringing in that way, in terms of like my friends, my small town, and everybody's really connected. So I know a lot of people think like, oh god, high school reunion, why would you ever go to that? That's like what a nightmare. But which is what Sam thinks. He's like, holy shit, why would you ever go to that?
You're really so gonna have to mark this explicit now.
Yeah, well, it's okay. I didn't use f word or anything. I didn't use anything
it's
extreme.
Coming
no, it's not coming. Oh, Sam's gonna say, no, go it. You're holding it in. But anyway, so it's funny though, because I would say that like most people at the reunion like knew, you know, they kind of knew what I do, or, you know, whatever, because of, you know, social media makes it easy to keep up with people and Facebook and all these things. So like most people knew, but the few people that like I ran into that were kind of like, oh my god, you, like, how are you? I haven't seen you in 20 years or whatever. Like, that's so wild. And then it was like, what do you do? And they would, you know, say their thing, and then it would be like, well, they'd retort like, what do you do? And I would feel so silly. I don't know why. I'd just be like, oh, I'm a dog photographer, you know? And it's like, how is that real? And it reminds me of like when you're watching like HGTV. We might have made this reference before, but when you're watching like HGTV and then like, you know, there's like a couple on the, like the House Hunters show, mm-hmm. and they're like, okay, like we're looking for a house that has all these things, and we want like this amenity and that amenity, and our budget is like $2.3 million. And you're like, geez, these people are like 25, you know? And then it's like, what do you do for a living? And then the woman's like, I'm a professional butterfly wrangler.
Yeah. I mean, chinchilla racer.
My budget is $2.5 million, you know? And it's just like, you're like, what in the world? Like, it makes no sense at all. Well, I kind of felt like silly like that. You know what I mean? When I said it, like, I'm like, oh, but I know that
it
sounds
is.
Weird,
it's,
but.
It's frequently a thing you have to back up by saying like, but look at my work. You
well,
know,
I
because,
don't do that, though.
Well,
that's
I know.
The thing
you,
is,
you,
I don't do that.
You don't. But when you say, we tell people like, I photograph dogs.
I know.
Like, they think like, one, you're unemployed.
Yeah.
Two, like, they're thinking like Sears puppies in baskets from like
1983. Yeah, there's a very specific like look that people are thinking of.
Yeah, and I mean, we've talked about it before, like if we're in like a weird situation where like we're like, you know, when we were in Banff and the woman's walking by with a dog and we're like, can we photograph your dog? You know, sometimes people are like, sure. And sometimes people are like, I don't want that.
Yeah. No, and, it's true. It's and, definitely
until,
true. Yeah.
Until you're like, but I do this. And you show them your work and you go, oh, I do want that.
Yeah, well, that, yeah, it's a whole perceived value thing with yes. photography and art in general, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a whole rabbit hole. But it's funny, though. I will say, too, the other day, or maybe it was just yesterday, yeah, I posted up a photo of one of our recent shoots from just this past weekend, and it was this, like, amazing, gorgeous old English bulldog.
Ah, Roxy.
Roxy, yeah, in the ocean with this amazing sunset behind her or whatever. And one of the comments that was on it, it was in Spanish, but, you know, you can pretty easily hit the translate button and kind of see. And
it was like, muy guapo.
It was actually kind of funny. I mean, I'm sure you can go just see this now if you decided you wanted to poke around on the Dog and Breath Instagram. But the comment was like someone tagging one of their friends on it and saying, hey, like, I don't know, I'll just use a name because I don't remember what it was. But it was like, hey, Rosie, like, do you think it's like at all, like even remotely possible that this girl makes a living at this? Or something along those lines. You know how things get a little jumbled and sure. translate. It was either like, does she make a living at this? Which is kind of a bold and somewhat rude, I suppose. But like maybe they didn't mean it that way. And or it could have been, is it possible that I could do this same exact thing and make a living?
Mm-hmm.
Either way, the question was like, how is it possible to make a living at this career? And then the person wrote back also in Spanish, but was like, no, I think it is possible. I follow this girl's work or whatever. And I've seen her. Some of her tutorials or whatever. And I mean, her work is amazing. And then the person wrote back after that and was like, because I really like dogs. And I mean, I love photography, but I just didn't think it was possible. You know,
that's the pretty much the same way that you started. You're like, hey, I love dogs and photography.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, but so it was an interesting like comment thread. Like it was like, you know, right on my photo. And it was mm-hmm. like, is this like real life? Can you really do this? And I get, you know, I think that's a normal. That's like a normal curiosity, isn't it? Like about this job. It's got to be. It's like, how?
Yeah, which one? The question is always, which one of us comes from money?
Yes, yeah, exactly. We've gone over this before many yeah. times. You know what I mean? Like neither of us. And also, people ask me all the time what you do. When they hear what I do, the next question is, "Oh, what does your husband do?"
Which type of neurophysicist is
yeah,
Sam?
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm like, "No, he's a dog photographer too." And they kind of can't believe that you're like also. Do you
that,
know
what
I mean?
That we
like
have one of source business. Of income. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah exactly. Yeah. So anyway, whatever. It's kind of cool and I'm extremely grateful. I mean, listen, like we all have wild dreams and we all have goals in life. And I certainly have like extremely lofty goals that are very far away from where we are now in terms of not just like art. Art is the most important thing to me of all the things, but like financially and everything too. You know what I mean? Like I'm very excited and happy and proud and we live a really comfortable life and whatever. But I mean, of course I have like, I want to buy many homes, you know what I mean? And have like homes in epic places all over the country so we can like take dogs from shelters everywhere to insane places and have like a home base and in all these different parts of the country. And like, I realized that that's a big dream. And especially for kids like you and me who don't come from money at all. We don't have anything to fall back on and you know what I mean? Like have anyone in our family that we can be like, can you help us with this next part of the dream? That's all on us and the business and Dog Breath or whatever. So
yeah, we have a very yeah. supportive family, but I can't ask my parents like, hey, can you loan me $1 million? Cause I want to start a, you know,
right. Or even like, hey, do you have like, you know, 250K for me to put down on this like property or something so I can make it happen and I'll pay you back or like, you know, you just can't ask
yeah.
that of.
We have the type of parents who, if they did have it, would
oh,
say yes.
Like, I mean, we have like incredibly supportive parents and I'm so grateful for that. That's so much more important than money any day, but it's
100%.
Just, you know, whatever. Anyway, so it's interesting. It's a cool thing, but I don't know. Thus like concludes the financial portion of this
well,
podcast.
Yes. So I think to sum up, you've got big dreams. Like we've come a long way, and if you have a dream out there yourself and a passion for something, like even if it's something ridiculous like photographing dogs, like you can do it.
It's not ridiculous, though.
It's
sounds
ridiculous.
It sounds like Butterfly Wrangler, but it is really important and special what we do.
Well, I was talking to a client the other day, and we were talking kind of about like what he did, and he's like, "Oh, I'm like my specialty is in mRNA vaccines," and I was mm-hmm. like, "Oh, we photograph dogs," you know. So like yeah. in the scope of things, it kind of seems ridiculous, but also like. You know, capturing memories for people is really like a very special sort of thing. And like you said, it's perceived value. And some mm-hmm. people like it means more to them than anything to have these special memories of you know, their dogs captured in a really, you know, unique and special way.
Do you remember when we were at that Nat Geo event and there was that one guy there?
Yes.
And we're talking about like what we do and, you know, whatever, like just party stuff. Like, how are you doing? Who are you? Where do you live? You know, whatever. Mm. And he, we're like, what do you do? And he was a Nat Geo explorer. That was quite literally his career. He was an explorer. And he discovered Genghis Khan's tomb.
Yep.
And that's what he's like, was really known for. And he was talking to us about it. And we're like, oh. And that's when I was like, I felt silly. I was like, I photographed dogs. I'm here because I photographed dogs. It's a very different thing. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, like art, making art is like, whether or not, whether your subject is dogs or people or cats or furniture or buildings or landscapes, like it's art. And if you can carve out a place for yourself in this, like the world of art and like the, I guess the commodity that is art for people who care about it, like that's pretty magical and that's pretty special. Like it just sounds a little sillier when you say dog specifically, dog photography.
Yes, but it's, yeah, it's another one of those things where, like, you know, your time has, you know, you only have so much time, you know, in general to spend on this earth, and there's like, there's not really a monetary value you can place on time. So if you're spending your time working at something that you absolutely love, you know what I mean, then even if you don't make as much money as, say, someone who's like a in vitro neurosurgeon, if you love what you do, I don't know, there's an intrinsic sort of value to that.
Yeah. No,
but if you hate what you do, then I don't know, the money can only get you so far.
Oh, I have to say one more thing. I have to switch gears entirely now.
Okay.
So before we get into the photo for this week.
Oh, yeah. We have a photo to talk about.
Yeah, we have a photo to talk about. That's coming up soon. And I don't want to make this super long because I know this is like extremely topical and also will date this podcast for sure. But I've just got to talk to you briefly about this. I am obsessed with the story of the Titan sub that went down to see the Titanic, because we're recording on the day that they finally just now confirmed like the horrible tragic news.
Yeah.
And I'm so fascinated by it. And I just have to talk to you about implosion and like what that means and what that would be like. And that versus the alternative of being, okay, so first should we preface it? I mean, I'm sure everybody listening to this has probably heard about the story, but if you want to preface it.
All right. If anyone's going to sum it up, it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be me.
I get too excited. It's too wild.
Yeah. So in case you haven't been following the news, did you hear about this?
I know it's weird because this is not a news podcast.
No, but you have been talking a lot about it today.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a private tour of, I believe, 5 people total that went in a submersible craft down to see the wreckage of the Titanic. It lost communication with its contact ship above the water about 90 minutes into its journey, and it turns out that it suffered a catastrophic implosion and everyone died, and that's kind of awful.
It's so wild.
But what a,
it's
like,
so awful.
What a way to go, being imploded.
It's not exploded, it's imploded.
Right.
Which is like a whole other thing, but I will say this. I think, okay, so I think there's some options for like what might have happened to these people. And like for a little while when they couldn't find the sub, they were like thinking there was a chance that it like was still kind of existing, but it was lost, or it was unable to be, you know, like controlled by the main controller ship above. So they lost contact and it might have just been like lost under the sea, or it might have floated to the top and it might have been like on the surface, kind of. I mean, it's a sub, so it's never going to be on the surface, but it's going to be like a few feet below and you're never going to see it. And it's going to be rolling around in the waves, right? And the thing was, they only had like 96 hours or so worth of oxygen on there. And so they were going to like potentially suffocate if they weren't found by a certain time. Just run out of air, which sounds absolutely horrifying and miserable. And then the other thing is, they're in this like capsule, which is like, I don't know, how many square feet was it? Like
they described it. It's about the size of a, like a minivan.
Oh, really? That's actually bigger than I thought.
Yeah. Well, like the inside of a minivan.
Because they, because there were five people and they all had to sit like cross-legged on the floor.
Yeah.
And they were like touching each other. So there's like, they're pretty much on top of each other on the floor. Mm-hmm. You, I was reading that like you couldn't even kneel. You couldn't kneel. You could certainly not stand. You had to like sit on your bum was the only way, right, to like get
Yeah, everything this about this sounds awful.
I can't even imagine. And there's like... No, like, windows. Like, there is a window. There's one little porthole, right? So you can see out in front of you. I think there was a little, like, porthole window, which could have been the failure problem because it was only rated to a certain depth. But anyway, whatever. There's so much to talk about with this, and this is not that type of podcast, but...
It really isn't.
I just am so, like, blown away that, like, this exists. Like, this type of tourism, extreme, like, tourism like that exists. And that, like, there are people with... I don't know. I guess... There's like no primal intrinsic survival fear that these people might not have, or they've gotten over because like just getting into that like
right because
capsule,
in the best case scenario where you go and you see the thing and you come back up, it sounds like torture.
It's I mean
sounds
it's like
actual
there
torture.
Was like 17 bolts holding it shut, but there was no way to open it from the inside. So you had to rely on another person, like from the craft above, like getting it. You know, successfully getting it and then getting their hands on it and then opening these bolts all while you're running out of air. Like, I realized they weren't supposed to be gone that long, so they wouldn't have been close to their air situation. But it's so awful. It's awful. But then I gotta say, though, finding out today that they found debris down there by the Titanic, I think it was like 1,600 feet off of the bow of the Titanic on the sea floor. They found debris that like 100% was identified as like the, I don't know, the nose of the machine or whatever. So they could tell for sure it came from the machine, which means that it did implode, which is like a extremely rare phenomenon that like they always warn you about. It's like total, like it's not urban legend. It's real. It's happened before, but it's extremely rare that it's ever actually happened and that people have like known about it. And they found it like it 100% confirms that they were fully imploded. The good news is that likely it was very fast. You know what I mean? Like it was an immediate, like just the lights were turned off on these people's lives. Do you know what I'm saying? So they didn't suffer, hopefully. The only thing I can think is if there was a crack in it, like a micro, like crack, do you know what I'm saying? That potentially like it could have slowly happened until the point of like busting, in which case they might have known it was happening. Like someone heard the sound of it starting to... Do you know what I'm saying? And then they were
chances
like,
chances
oh,
are it was really quick. What a strange venue for this conversation.
I know. It's just so fascinating, though. So let me ask you.
Okay.
Like, if you were, like, promised that you would see, like, the remains of the Titanic, which probably only, like, a few dozen people in the world have ever seen or whatever. Maybe I'm wrong. That could be a totally wrong statistic, but I'm pretty sure not that many people have ever seen that. Would you take the trip?
Absolutely not.
No interest at all?
No.
I mean, money aside, let's just say it was free.
No. Let's say they paid me $250,000 to go down and do it. Absolutely not.
Really?
There's no way.
So then does that mean you would not go into space willingly?
That also means that.
Really? Interesting. Yeah. So that tracks. Okay.
No, I like existing in an environment in which I can breathe and live and stretch out my arms and just...
You could shuffle your feet.
Be.
You could do a little dance.
So
you could do anything you want with that correct atmosphere.
So before we take our break,
yeah.
To sum up the story, if you're at home, if you have a dog, and look at your dog, be grateful that you and your dog are neither imploded nor exploded.
It's true. Yes,
that you
I
are
agree.
Simply ploded. And take a minute to be grateful for that and what you have.
Yeah, I agree.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about dog photography.
Woo!
On
All
adventures
right.
in dog photography.
Yahoo!
Hey, Kaylee, who would you say are the biggest names in dog photography?
Oh, I mean, off the top of my head, probably Sophie Gaumond, Alicia Zimiswowska, Seth Castile, Craig Turner-Bullock, Taryn Bayer, Carly Davidson, Alex Kearns, Elka Vocalsong, Charlotte Reeves, Nicole Begley, Andrew Knapp, and Ewan Shane.
Honestly, I'd throw you, Kaylee Greer, in that mix, too.
Aw, thanks. And I suppose I'd throw you, Sam Haddix, in there, too. You know, by default. Why do you ask?
Well, I was thinking, wouldn't it be incredible if we can get every single one of those amazing photographers, and me, all together in one incredible location for a once-in-a-lifetime event?
What a very specific and pointed question. It just so happens that the exact hypothetical event you've described is very real, and it's called Shutterhound.
Shutterhound? Wow, love it. And when exactly is this Shutterhound you speak of?
Why did you pronounce shutter so specifically, number one? And number two, it's September 5th, 6th, and 7th, 2023 at the Mirage Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada, baby!
Sounds amazing. The only thing that would make it even better would be a special speaking engagement with the most famous dog photographer of all time, William Wegman.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I not mention that William Wegman is our special guest speaker?
All right, I'm sold. Where do I sign up?
Well, you should probably know this since we're the ones hosting this conference, but head to www.shutterhoundconference.com to sign up.
Shutterhoundconference.com. Got it.
And put on your party pants, because we're Shutterhound bound.
Shutterhound, September 5th, 6th, and 7th, 2023 at the Mirage Las Vegas, Nevada. Head to shutterhoundconference.com to learn more. Party pants not included. We're back, and I'm sniffly.
Yes, Sam has, like, some serious allergies. And I thought maybe, okay, so you guys know if you listen to this podcast, we were in Florida for, like, about 6 weeks. And the start of our time in Florida was, like, this very beginning of spring, which means, like, we missed what I thought was the big allergy season up here in New England.
Also what I thought.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, oh, that's good. We'll be in Florida for the whole time that your allergies are really bad. And then by the time we get back up north, it'll be June and it'll be summer. So they'll be, like, gone. And it turns out that your allergies exist always.
Oh, that's...
You've been kind of a wreck with those.
Yeah, I get, like, the cold sweats and, like, sneezing fits. And, like, I get allergy attacks. Yeah. So it's, like, yeah. It's like 30 to 45 seconds of intense craziness followed by, like, me having to lay down for a while.
Yeah, it's funny. It takes a lot out of you.
Yeah, and I've been trying to find new and exciting places to walk Joshua.
Yes, yeah.
And I found a beautiful spot by us, and I couldn't believe I'd never been there before. It's stunning. It's called Jewel Hill.
Oh, you're giving away all the secret locations.
Well, here's the thing. I would say, like, oh, go to Jewel Hill because it's a beautiful photo shoot location, except I pulled no less than 30 ticks off of Joshua and about a dozen ticks off of myself.
That's terrible.
Which was brutal. And then about halfway into our walk, I was noticing these beautiful white flowery trees that are all along the trail we were walking. And I was like, this is incredible. And then I realized I'm very allergic to these trees and had a full-on allergy attack in the middle of this trail. And I was like, what if I black out right now? Like, what if I just
Joshua
pass out?
Will save you. Will he'll be in, like, the movies, and he'll grab your shirt and, like, or, like, the top of your pants and drag you back to the car. And he will get in the car and turn it on with the push button start and his tiny foot on the brake. And he would save you and he would take you back home to me.
What a good kid.
I know. Seriously. I mean, then I would celebrate him and give him all the treats and all the cookies and forget you were in the car.
Speaking of the car.
Just kidding. Speaking of the car, that is a good segue.
Yes, thank you. Before we get into today's story, can you just explain to our listeners how good of a driver I am?
I mean, all right. I really want to, like, rag on you or whatever, because that's, like,
the
what
time
we do.
Will come. It's
that's
coming.
What we do. And by the way, that's not just what we do on the podcast. That is literally just what we do all the time. Ever since I've known you, it's, like, deprecating, like, humor and, like really, like, try to like punch you where it hurts and then you try to get me back, and it's like all in good fun. It's just, for whatever reason, that's how it is. Anyway, now with all that said and with all that out there, as much as I would like to really, like, drag you through the mud, you are an excellent driver. Rain Man, you are a very good driver. You are the best driver probably I've ever, like, hung with in any way, whether, like, it's family or friends or, like, you know, whatever, boyfriends, like, any person I've ever been around in general. I'd say boyfriends, I have so many right now. Can you imagine?
It's the highest compliment when you take a nap in the car.
That's the thing, is, like, I feel 100% comfortable with you to just, like, fall asleep for long periods of time, and I know that you're not going to kill me.
Yeah, I'm perfectly happy to put on a podcast, to grab an energy drink, even though I know they're not good for me, and just hit the road and drive for however many hours, and, like, I'm pretty good at, like, assessing what other people are going to do on the road before they do it. And
yeah, which makes it a little hard to talk to you because you're like constantly over like hyper
overanalyzing. You're like absolutely everything that's happening.
Everything. So I'm like, look at that, and you can't like look at it.
I also spot animals that are on the side of the road or in the forest way before you see them.
Yeah, it's true. So you are an excellent driver. You're very, very good. I trust you with my life for the most part until
we're going to talk about the day that I crashed the car.
Woo!
We're both fine, by the way.
I won't say crashed, but I will say made a large mistake. And I think what we should do is we'll start by describing the photo. We will also tell you to go look at this photo on Instagram at the account Adventures in Dog Photography. You will see this photo there. And then, yes. Oh, thank you. So Sam's holding up the iPhone, facing it straight at me with a photo of the day. So I can look at it and describe it to you. You know, I don't actually know what type of dog this is. You know that? Like, I actually have no clue what type of dog this is.
She's Shaggy. A very special dog.
All I can give you is Shaggy. Somebody tell me what type of dog this is. School me. Really school me. Because I feel like she's probably like a big mixy mix
dog. Listen, we don't know much about dogs or dog breeds.
I don't know why. I just don't know. But she's brown. Okay. Is this dog's name Abby? Is it Abby?
Yep.
I thought so. Okay. So she's a beautiful brown, medium-sized dog, really shaggy, chocolate brown eyes, chocolate brown fur, just beautiful brown nose, the whole thing.
She came wrapped in tinfoil.
I don't know. What's the...
Because she's chocolate.
Oh, I gotcha. Waha. What a joke.
I'll be here all night.
Perfect. So she's sitting on a wall that is... I mean, so idyllic and so gorgeous, like straight off of a farm that is covered. It's a rock wall covered in like luscious green moss. And behind her is this like just amazing view that just kind of goes on for ages. It's like this rolling pastures behind her. And it was quite a gloomy, like cloudy day. So the skies are kind of this like darker blue with like ominous swirly clouds that are kind of epic, like a superhero poster. And she's sitting right in the middle of the wall, just looking straight down the barrel of the lens in typical Kaylee Greer fashion. It's shot really wide, so it's probably like 12 millimeters close up to the dog with the, you know, the giant sky and the big, wide, just sweeping background going kind of off into the horizon behind the very cool wall that she's sitting on.
I'm just curious real quick. You know, on the iPhone, you can open up an image and click on the little lowercase I, and if there was like a dog in it, it will look up the dog for you.
Right. Yeah.
I just want to see what the iPhone thinks it is. It's not always right.
Maybe some kind of spaniel.
So it's coming up Labradoodle and also Portuguese water dog.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's a scruffy little curly brown thing. I don't think it's a doodle, though.
She's probably a mutt, but everyone, take a look at the photo. Chime in with your thoughts.
Let me know.
As to what type of dog this beautiful Abby is. And by the way, your camera settings on this, you're going to be able to guess most of them, right?
Okay, well, 11 or 12 millimeters.
It's at 12.
Okay, I usually go 12 and not 11. Hilarious. I think 11 is like, oh, slightly.
That's
too,
way too much.
Too distorted, you know, I don't know, whatever. So 12 millimeters, ISO 100.
Oh, you're feeling frisky today because you're at 125. Whoa, for your ISO.
Frisking.
I always ask Kaylee, like, I'll ask her what her settings are because I'm usually... doing the lighting and I'm doing it manually, usually just by feel and by, you know, what her settings are. And I'll ask her, like, what's her ISO? And she's like, 125. I'm like, why? And she's like, I don't know.
Sometimes I like it.
It just feels
sometimes
right.
Sometimes I like it. I'm either at 1/160th of a second or 1/200th.
You're at 1/200th?
Yeah, I was going to say probably 1/200th.
Ooh, now guess the f-stop.
16.
Ooh, 13.
All right. That's
pretty sweet.
That's pretty on brand. That's pretty on brand for me.
Hey, you did a nice job describing the photo this week.
Oh my gosh, that's such a nice thing to say. I'm so excited about that. That means a lot to me, and I have to pee. Give me a second.
Okay. Well, I'll start the story while you go and I guess use the bathroom while we record. She says, "Don't say too many things." Let's preface this by saying that this actually kind of dovetails nicely with last week's episode. Last week's episode, when we talked about the Dandy Dinmonts, was towards the end of our trip last year to the UK, where we made many, many stops. But this particular photo was taken right at the beginning of our UK trip. In fact, this is in Lancashire, England. And the reason that we were there to begin with is because we took a late night flight from Boston to London, and then we eventually had to drive from London all the way up into, I'd say, halfway up Scotland, which is about a 7 or 8 hour drive from Heathrow Airport. And after not sleeping, getting on the plane, and driving...
I'm back.
Hello.
Thank you.
I was just describing the very beginning of the story as to how we're getting and why we're in Lancashire to begin with.
Okay. Gotcha, gotcha.
We basically decided, like, all right, let's get off the plane and do half the drive, you know, and then we should probably sleep, and then we'll finish the rest of the drive to Scotland the next day.
Was it like 6 hours to the spot?
To about where we were? Yeah, it was like 4 hours or so, and then I think we had another 4 hours to go the next day, something like that.
Okay.
And so, yes, Kaylee is not the most decisive person in the world. So one of the things that I tried to do for us is to find our Airbnbs when we are traveling, because it will take her 6 months to try to narrow down a particular place where I'm a little bit more decisive. And so I found this place that I thought looked beautiful and was right in about the right spot. And I was like, boom, okay, this is where we're staying. Kaylee had no idea anything about it except for how far it was into the trip. Does that sound right?
Yeah, yeah. I was like so overwhelmed at that point because we had booked out. We were there for what, 2 months or something, or month, whatever. It was a month.
We had
and a
lot
half.
Of stops to make.
So yeah. Like I had so many other Airbnbs booked and all these different choices I already made, and I just was so freaking fatigued by it all. I was like, just pick this one. This was like one night or something. Was it one night or two nights?
Just one night.
Yeah.
We were just there one night.
Just one night, yeah.
And so, you know, when you book an Airbnb, like oftentimes you'll get a message from the proprietor of where we're staying, and they'll kind of give you directions on how to get to the house or whatever. And one of the things, for those of you not from the UK, is that oftentimes there's not like necessarily a street address. It's more of like a house name.
Yes.
And so he's like, here's the name of the house and the town.
Yes.
Like, okay. And so he gave some directions in his message, but then I just put it into the GPS and it gave me slightly different directions. And I was like, yeah, this seems straightforward enough. I'll just follow the GPS. Because by this time, like, also, we're super tired. I'm driving on the wrong side of the road. Like, it's a lot.
Dude, you shouldn't say the wrong side because they get mad about that. They were here first, so just say the other side.
Listen, I like my measurements based on an old dead man's foot.
Perfect.
And that's the ways I like it.
An indignant American. Perfect.
No, driving on the opposite side of the road. Yes. And, you know, so I was like, all right, I can't do the Kaylee read me directions thing. I'm just going to follow the GPS. And so we're getting there. We're about 99% of the way there. And it's like, take a right. And I'm like, really? I'm gonna take a right onto what looks like a weird, like, I'm not supposed to drive here. You know,
like a horse trail. Listen, I want to preface all this. This is important to come first, and you're not going to say it.
Okay.
Because you get so... Listen, you're not going to like this part, Sam. You ready?
Lay it on me.
But I'm going to lay it on you.
Yep.
Because like we said, you are an amazing driver. You're usually like just like pretty much perfect at driving, I will say.
Go on.
When we are driving on the other side of the road, and the same thing happened in Australia. When
there, all right. I know where you're going with this.
It makes sense because you're used to being on the right side of the road instead of the left side of the road.
Yeah.
So you pull really hard to one side, like you're overcorrecting.
Yes.
So
I'm not the only American that does this. I overcompensate by driving like much harder, like left than I normally would.
Yes.
Because from where I am, I'm like, I'm in the middle of the road, but Kaylee's like, I'm like getting a lot of sparks on this side of the car over here.
Yeah. So it happened in Australia, like a bunch where you were like so close to hitting guardrails. And like, there were a bunch of like deep gullies off the side of the roads, like in where the heck were we? Cairns at the top of Australia.
Yeah.
And Port Douglas, I think.
Port Douglas.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, Sam, we almost just fell off the road. Oh my God. You know, because I'm on that side of the car, so I could like see out the window, like, dude, we're gonna fall off the road. You have your tire halfway on the road and halfway in this like deep gully and we're about to fall off, and you would get really frustrated with me. And so I was like trying to decide if it was like me having a problem recalculating to just sitting on the other side of the car, like maybe it feels like this when I'm on the like right side of the car when I'm in the US and I'm in the passenger seat, and maybe I just like have been so used to being there for so many years that I just don't notice when we're close to guardrails or whatever. So you kind of had me second guessing myself, because every time I would correct you, you would like snap back. Like this is the only time that you and I like actually fight, is like when you're driving or like trying to park and I have all these thoughts
and you
about
have a
it.
Lot of
yes.
stuff to say.
And
yeah.
I get that because I do. I'm like, no, I would park over there, wait, don't park there, because we have this car that I'm like obsessed with and I don't want a door ding, you know what I mean? So I'm like, don't park next to that, that's too tight, that person's gonna smash our car, like whatever. I always have an opinion about it. So you kind of got, so when we first got on the road in London, once we got the car, the first few like roundabouts you did or whatever, I was like, oh my God, like Sam. And then you got beeped at by a couple of cars on the highway because you were almost in their lane, and like you were kind of like, I don't know what everyone's upset about, I'm not like drifting over the line. And I'm like, dude, I think you are. And I'm like, listen, I get it. This is a lot. It's overwhelming. We're tired. But like you were drifting a lot. And I will say, you're 100% not the only person. I will totally call out Ken McKenzie, our one of our best friends who came to visit us in Scotland not
long
after.
And Nicole was doing this
and
as
Nicole,
well.
And yeah. Nicole, I didn't get
so
that
I think
yet,
I think it's a very common thing.
Yeah. When I was in the car with Ken, he grazed the like curb on the side of like the I don't want to say highways. I don't know if there's like highways in Scotland, but well, I guess they probably are. But he was grazing the curb like a lot, and like having some interaction with like shit on the side of the road, like with the car. And I was like, oh my God. So it wasn't just you. He was doing it. And then Nicole also, my lovely Nicole Begley from Hair of the Dog Academy, shout out. She won't mind me saying, she as an American was also kind of drifting to the left and was like, oh my God. Like she would like, if she felt the wheel touch the curb, she'd be like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I was that far left. And so it was happening to most of the Americans because it's just a weird adjustment. So anyway, with all that out there, I will say on the way up to this place, I kept telling you were drifting to the left, to the left, to the left. And you like did not believe me. And I'm not trying to dig on you for no reason, but it's just true. And I think you can admit it.
I admit it, as long as we can move on with
okay,
the story.
Yes, keep going.
Great. So yes, we take a right onto this road that's going up to our Airbnb. And it is, this road is like fully falling apart. It's kind of a dirt road. Parts of it are kind of paved. It's kind of jagged. There's big, deep gullies on either side.
And like big ass rocks. Like yep. Honestly, it was probably for farm equipment, like to go up and down.
Yeah,
it was
from
not
like the
meant
1800s.
For you to drive on. But the thing is, like, when we go to other countries, we're pretty, like, used to the, like, all right, I don't want to sound at all douchey, but, like, the American standard of safety is, like, really, really high. And the, like, your ability to drive up and down things like that, like, they just don't, it's not even available for you to drive up and down something like that.
Right.
There's definitely more, like, they take away your choice in the U.S. You're not used to things like that even being accessible. Whereas, like, you know, in other countries, they're like, you need to be a smart person to make good decisions, and we're not going to micromanage everything for you.
Yeah.
And so this road was there, and it existed, and there was no signs or anything to say, like, don't go here. This
right.
Is like,
they'll be like, the Romans built this road,
steep,
you know.
Grade. Like, yeah, whatever. They just kind of let you, like, do it if you feel like doing it over there, and there's no, like, real signage about it and or anything. So we didn't right. know that you weren't allowed to go up there.
Right. So anyways, we go up the road without issue, by the way. Get up the road. It was
treacherous, and I was like, don't do this again.
But that's fine. We get up to the top of the hill, and there's our Airbnb, which, by the way, Kaylee's just now figuring out is an actual castle.
Unfreaking real. This was easily the most insane, most beautiful Airbnb that we stayed in that entire trip.
Yep.
It was like such a shame that it was one night.
It was. And we met our guests, our host,
who, Sam,
also named Sam.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. He was awesome.
He was lovely. He was super nice. And he helped us in with our bags. And we were like, oh, where can we get some food? And he's like, oh, you should check out the pub at the bottom of the hill. I was like, okay. And so, you know, we put our stuff away. We went We went back down the hill, or did we go in a different way?
We went around. Told us, that's right. Like, that's okay, right. There's another road to get out of here.
Like, oh yeah, because we told him we went up the hill, yeah, and he was like, oh.
He's like, oh wow, okay, don't go up that hill because you know, like, there's a safer road to get down, and it's paved. And so he told us how to do it, and it was like a long, long way around. Like, mm-hmm. the hill, the treacherous hill, was direct. Straight down to the pub, 2 minutes. The other one was like 10 full minutes around, but it was much safer. But we took that. He's like, don't do that, you know, that bad road. Just go around. So we did on the way down to the pub. Mm-hmm. So we went down and it was gorgeous. Absolutely idyllic. Like, the drive down, I was like screaming the whole way. First of all, there were hares. Right? Yep. Hares. Like, full-sized hares. I have never seen that before. Like, Peter Rabbit type of style.
They're like big bunnies.
They're huge bunnies. Like, we just have regular-ass bunnies here in the U.S. Like, just normal-sized bunnies.
Just your standard-ass bunny.
Yeah. But these were huge, huge bunnies. Like, tall. Like, 3 feet tall or something. You know what I mean? And they were all over the place. And there was wildlife everywhere. It was amazing. And the roads were just stunning. And, like, oh my gosh. And then there was like all these amazing old farm properties and cows, and just basked in like golden sidelight. It was unreal. I was so blown away. Like, centuries old, like, stone walls everywhere. And so anyway, so we take the long way, which was no problem at all because it was so beautiful, to the pub. Went down to the pub. That was amazing. I'll glaze over it because I could talk forever and ever. Mm-hmm. But like, it was amazing. I had like the best chicken pot pie of my entire life. And then we went.
Go on about the chicken pot pie in detail,
and
please.
Then we went somewhere. Oh, we needed like a little grocery store.
Yeah.
Yes. So we looked for a little grocery store, just to get basics like waters and basic things that we needed for our trip. And did you talk about when you picked up the rental car, how we, number one, did not insure it? Did you talk about that?
No.
We picked up the rental car. We did not insure it.
Well, we have insurance or a credit card. This is not a detail that needs.
Yes. No, it does. See, I think it does, because when we picked it up, like, he's like, oh, like telling us all about the insurance. You know how they hard sell you on it. And you're like, no, I don't need it. No. I'm a good driver. I don't need it. And then when he brought us to the car, I walked around the entire outside of it with like a fine-toothed comb to make sure it was like perfect. You know what I mean? Like, because I was like, we need this car. It was an SUV and we needed it for like a month and a half, and we were going to be driving like thousands of miles in it. Oh, you know, over the course of the month and a half, we were going to be driving, I mean, like, I don't know, 40 hours or something, all over the UK, from the top of Scotland, like, to the, I wish the bottom of England, but to, like, the middle, anyway, at least, of England, and everywhere. So, I was really careful about which car we got, making sure it was, like, the right one. It was really high quality. It was going to, like, be a good car, you know what I mean? And that it was, like, really clean and in good shape and all that. So, and then, of course, we denied the insurance. So that's a fun thing to talk about. But, okay, so we go, we get groceries, right? So now we're coming back.
Okay, so to put it into context, we traveled back the direction we came in about 10 minutes to get the groceries. And so now we're about to leave, and I say, like, okay, well, either we have to go back the way we came and go up the hill we're not supposed to go up, or continue even further and then go around the long way, or I wonder if I look at my GPS if I can find a way that makes more sense to go to the castle from where we are right now.
Yeah, I don't know why you did that, but yeah, you did, and you were like, oh, I got a new route, and this route is going to be better. And
well, because it made perfect sense, and I looked at all the roads, and I was like, oh, it connects exactly. It was a new way, and we're driving. We drive this new road, and it's going through all this farmland, and we're getting, I get 85% of the way to the castle, and then all of a sudden, there's just a gate. There's just a gate across
because
the road.
Because it was going through, like, farmer's land, like, other farmer's land. And he did say that, like, after a certain time, some of the, like, little roads to the castle place that we stayed might be, like, shot by the farmers.
Right.
So, but we drove by so many baby lambs.
I know, but it's like,
it was a baby lamb, and the moms were everywhere. It was so beautiful. Now we've gone out of the way.
We're very far out of the way. So we've gone 15 minutes out of the way. So I'm going to have to go 15 minutes back to the grocery store.
It was like 10:30 p.m. And like, we were exhausted, right?
And I've been awake for like 39 hours.
Right. So we got up to the top of the hill that was like, we could see the castle from where we were, but we couldn't get the car there. And so you were like, so mad. That's the most mad you ever get, is like with car stuff, like with like directions, and like, you're pretty chill otherwise, but that's like where you're like a real pain in the ass. Let's go ass. And now you have to really put explicit on this. so you got really upset. You were like totally cussing and like, you know, whatever. So you're like, okay, we got to go back down. So we went all the, and I was having the time of my life. I was like thrilled, but I wasn't driving. So I give you credit. Like it was a tough drive because everything's so tiny and windy. And so we get, so we're like, all right, we got to head back down. So we head all the way back down. And once we got back down, it's like, okay, now we need to go the way he told us to go, which is the long way around, or we were right at the base of the treacherous hill.
Yeah.
Like, or we could just friggin' quite literally take this up and be done with it.
I said, screw it. We're going, 2 minutes. We're doing the short way.
I said, don't do it. I said, don't do it. I said, Sam, he told us not to do it. Also, it was kind of scary the first time, and that was in daylight. And now it's 10:30 p.m. or 11 or by this time. And I just, I don't think you should do it. And you're like, we're so confident. Like, I'm doing it. And I had no choice in the matter because I was just a damn passenger. So you start up the freaking treacherous hill with, okay. So remember when I said Sam was pulling like hard to the left all the time? And
we remember.
Yes. Well, this hill, you did not describe like how wildly treacherous this was, because there were moments on this dirt path road thing where there would be like a gully so deep on the side of it that it was quite literally like a, I'm not exaggerating when I say like a 4 foot drop, like a three and a half to 4 foot like drop off the side of the road into just like, it would just be like greenery or whatever. It wasn't like a bad fall, but it would be enough to like really screw up the car. So I was like, all right, Sam, to the right. So as he's like driving up the hill, now we only have headlights on. It's pitch black. I mean, there was nothing. This is the countryside. There was nothing out there. Pitch black. We have the headlights on and we're driving up the hill. And I'm like, Sam, to the right. Like, I'm trying to help you navigate it, but it's incredibly hard to see. And I'm like, dude, you're pulling to the left. I said it a couple times and I know how mad you were. And I still said it because I was like, no, I have to be prudent. I have to say something. Dude, you're going to fall off the road. You're like, no, I'm not. I'm like, dude, you're going to fall off the road. Well, sure enough. And I'd say about like halfway up the hill. Clunk, boom, the car falls off the road. And it was not like a small fall. It was an SUV. And the SUV fell, the left side of the car, the left two wheels, fell off so deep into the gully that the car was like on a fulcrum, so that the bottom, something underneath the car was balancing on the edge of whatever concrete was left on the like road.
Yeah, the car was fully bottomed out.
It was fully bottomed out to the point where like it was almost like your two right tires were off the road and your two left tires were also off the road. When I say they were, the two right tires were like lifted in the air. Like they were above the road, but they were like lifted in the air balancing. And the two left tires were in the ditch so deep that they weren't even touching the bottom of the ditch. It was quite literally balancing. Like if you went and sat on the hood and then got off, it would like bounce back up. Do you know what I mean? Because it was balancing on a fulcrum on some piece underneath the car. And I was like, holy, and you looked at me, you literally looked at me and go, oh, I'm about to say the F word. All right, everyone get ready. I'm about to say it. Sam looks at me and goes,
can you just censor it?
How do I censor it? I can't do it. I'm nervous. Listen, I'm too nervous. What if someone has their kid in the car? You just literally said, I effed up.
Yep.
You looked right in the eyes and you said, I effed up. But all right, so I censored it. So that's good. So now your kids only have to hear the word shit. Oh, Sam is rolling his eyes at me. Anyway, okay, so now it's 11:30. The car's friggin' balancing on the road. We try. You're like, why don't we just try to drive it off? And I'm like, it's not going to work. Like, I love you dearly, and you're one of the most brilliant people I know. But for some reason, basic physics does not come naturally to you. I'm just, you know what? You're a genius with music. You're a genius with computers, photography, anything to do with that stuff.
And that's all we have time for today.
Sam, you, for some reason, like just basic physics just doesn't really like vibe with your brain. So you're like, no, I think I can drive it off. So you go to drive it off. Of course, the wheels aren't touching the ground at all. So I think the two right ones ended up like getting a little traction on the ground, and they spun, and the sparks started flying out of the bottom of the car because you were dragging metal on concrete. Like the metal was dragging on the
it was worth a shot.
Oh my God, what a terrible idea. So, and then the rubber of the tire started, like, I swore to God you were going to start a fire. Like, it was not only burning rubber, but it was like black smoke coming off the tires. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm freaking out. We didn't get the insurance. Oh my God, he told us not to go up this road. Oh my, what are we going to do? Like, how are we even going to get out of here? So, and we tried for like a while, and it was like there was no physical way you and I could lift that car out of the hole. It was so insane.
I did try to push it.
Yeah, it was so beyond, you know, anything that we could ever. It was like you need a legit, like, big ass tow truck. And by the way, a tow truck is never coming up this road. Like, it would never fit.
Right. So, and then, it's in the middle of the night for all intents and purposes.
So
it's,
I'm like, oh no, what do I even do? I have no clue. I don't know a single, like, person in this country. You know what I mean? But all I can do is call our Airbnb host. That's all I can do. And I felt horrible. It was so late at night. Luckily, he was so cool, and he was, like, pretty much our age, too. So he was, like, pretty chill and young and, you know what I mean, and cool. And I was like, Sam, you know, I'm so sorry. I know you told us not to take this road. I'm, like, very aware that I'm coming across, like, the dumbest American, like, the dumbest, most entitled American that just does what they want anyway. You know what I mean? And I knew that's how it was coming off. And I'm, like, I am so self-aware at how bad this looks, and I feel so awful. We came up the stupid road you told us not to. We fell off. The car is fully bottomed out. It's bad. There's sparks. It's bad. And so he's like, oh, my God, he was so lovely. He came down immediately. He's like, I'm coming down right now. So he came down, like, immediately. He just walked down, I think. Did he walk down? Or did they take their, like, farm truck down or something?
No. He said, I'm going to get my boyfriend and his truck. We're going to come down.
Gotcha. Okay. So they came down. They could not have been lovelier. I'm like, dude, I am so embarrassed. He's laughing. He's kind of like giggling, like, this is so funny because I told you not to come up this road.
So
hang on.
So first of all, they come down in this enormous truck. Like, it's the biggest, biggest vehicle I've seen in the UK.
Probably,
they happen,
yes,
to be driving it. Second of all, they're both very, very tall people.
Yeah.
They're like 6'5", like
strong
yeah,
and
just
tall,
huge
young
dudes.
And, yeah.
And very attractive, the both of them.
Yeah, that's, there you go. I like that. I like you getting comfortable.
And they're like, okay, well, like, let's, and they get right to work, and they're like, okay, let's hook you up, let's go get this rope, and they're just like, they're just doing all this stuff, and I'm just standing there like, can I do something?
They tried to, like, use, like, the winch on his truck to, like, pull it out of the ditch. It so wasn't working, and he's like, here's the thing, like, you need a tow truck, like a legit tow truck. And I was like, can we call one? Who do we call? And he was like, oh no, like, a tow truck 100% cannot come up with this road. Like, I've lived here for my whole life, my childhood, my whole life. A tow truck quite literally can't come up here, like, physically, even whether or not it's, like, insurance reasons, they can literally physically can't come up here. And I was like, okay. And then he basically, like, we tried and tried and tried everything. And then he ended up calling, now it's 12:30 or something at night, you know what I mean? And he ended up calling his neighbor in the adjacent, like, farm. And he's like, let me see if I can wake him up and get him to come down in his tractor, like his huge tractor. See if we can hook you up to the tractor and pull you out. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. I feel, you know what I mean? Like, so it ended up, what I decided to try in the meantime was, oh no. And I remember too, he's like, looks under the car and he's like, oh, I think this might be totaled, this car. And I was like, oh my God, this is day one of like 38 days or 40 days that we're here.
Yeah, it wasn't off to an awesome start.
And we didn't get the insurance. I was like terrified about that. I'm like, then that's what he said next. He goes, did you get insurance? Like, please. And he has his fingers crossed. And here I go, American, just like freaking entitled American. I'm like, nope, didn't get the insurance. And he's like, oh God. Okay. He's trying to keep his cool, but like every answer I have is the wrong answer. So he calls tractor guy, and tractor guy woke up and got out of bed and like was going to come help us, and did. He did come down. But in the meantime, because it took him a while, you can go like 5 miles an hour on a tractor. You know what I mean? So it took him a while to get down there. I came up with the idea of taking apart the rock wall that was to the left of the car and filling up the gully hole that like the tires were just hanging in with rocks. Like, I was like, is there anything we can fill this in with so the tires can get some kind of traction? So it ended up that we spent ages like moving the rock wall and putting rocks in the hole. We could barely see our hands in front of our faces. Luckily, because they came down in the boyfriend's truck, like the headlights were on. Mm-hmm. So like we got a little bit of light from that, and that was kind of it. And we filled up the gully hole like with a ton of rocks, And after hours of trying, this finally it worked. It, like, the wheels got caught on the rocks enough to blast it forward back up onto the road. But the sparks that it created getting the car out of there, it was, like, unreal. I was like, oh, it's about to catch on fire. Like, where's the gas tank? Because the gas tank could be punctured. Like, there's a whole bunch of shit that could go wrong. And he was concerned, you know, that it might be, like, have a catastrophic failure once it got up off the ground. But we got it. The Tractor Man pulled up. And I think after Tractor Man got there, it was literally, like, 4 or 5 minutes until we got it out because of the rock idea that we were already trying while we were waiting for him. So I tried to give Tractor Guy $100. Remember that? I was like...
Just for coming down.
Yeah. I think I had the money already changed into, you know, pounds.
Into quid.
Yes. So I had that. And that was like all I had on me. But I was like, he got out of bed. Like he woke his family up. You know what I mean? Like,
and he absolutely would not accept it.
He would not accept that for anything. For anything. And so, and then I tried to give money to Sam and his boyfriend and like for his family for coming down and spending time with us. I was like, oh my God, like you were here for one night. This is our first night. You told us not to do the thing. We did this night. You've been here for hours. And so we got the, anyway, so we get the car up and we drive it up the rest of the way.
So, but by the way, he says, he's like, I'll drive it the rest of the way. And I'm like, that's a good idea.
That's what he said. And he'll drive it. I'm going to drive it the rest of the way.
So yeah, so we get the rest of the way. We pull up in front of the castle. We park and we basically just say like, let's not even look at it until tomorrow. Let's not even look at it. We'll figure out the damage tomorrow.
I was like already in tears. Like, right. I was like, oh no, we're so screwed.
But yes, in the meantime, we're trying to give them some sort of compensation for getting out of like bed and coming down and spending hours doing this ridiculous physical labor, you know, and they absolutely will not accept anything. And so this is the last gasp, you know, of like, what can we do for them? You're like, hey, do you have a dog?
Yeah. And he's like, actually, yeah, I do. I have two dogs. And he lived right there on the property because it was like a castle. So one part of the castle was the Airbnb and the other part was his home. You know, that's where he lived. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh my gosh, here's the thing. This is the weirdest thing in the world, but you're not going to let me give you money, but I really want to give you something incredibly special. And I truly can't thank you enough. Is there any way I could photograph your dogs for you? I am a professional dog photographer. And he was like so lovely. Like he was so excited. It was so great because I could give him something that he like suddenly valued. You know what I mean? He was like, oh my God, really? You're a dog photographer? Really? Like that's so interesting. And I was like, listen, I know we check out tomorrow. We're supposed to be leaving because the next day we were meeting Charlotte and Nicole and Craig up in Scotland to start the workshop that we were there to teach Barklander. And so we were like, you know, we had, I don't know, whatever you said, like 6 hours to get up there from where we were. But I was like, I can make time before we leave. Like, we'll check out and then we'll like do a shoot with your dogs. And then I'll go on the 6 hour drive to meet Charlotte and, you know, Nicole and those guys. And then we'll start the workshop. Like, it's going to be exhausting, but let's just do it. And he was so lovely. So the first thing the next morning when we checked out, got all the stuff in the car, and there he was waiting right at the front door with his two dogs.
Right. So we're skipping over an important detail. First thing in the morning, we check on the car.
Oh, yeah.
So that's right. It turns out that the part that had bottomed out was like basically the support. I don't know the name. It's someone who's into cars is going to laugh at me, but it's the support beam that you would use to like jack up the car.
Yeah.
It's a piece of metal that does nothing.
Well, it's like kind of meant to be like, yeah, if you need to jack up a car, there's like a spot to do that safely.
Yeah. So
we were so flipping lucky.
So that part was the only part that took any sort of damage. And
it was damaged.
And by damage, it was like slightly dinged or dented or whatever.
No. It was extremely like scarred up and gouged out and scratched up and slightly bent. But that's the extreme underneath of the car, and like no one at a car rental company looks underneath the car,
right? Because there wasn't any physical damage anywhere else on the car, and the so car weird. Drove perfectly fine.
I could not believe it. I was so absolutely blown away. I was so blown away. I was like, what a flipping miracle. And that car was the car we used to road trip the entire country for the next month and a half.
Do you remember what model car that was?
Yeah, I think it was a Quasi or whatever, the Nissan Quash. However you say that. We don't have that model here in the US.
Oh, it's like the Rogue Sport.
Yeah, like Nissan Quashai or Quashkai or something.
Something like that.
Q-U-A-S-H-I something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway.
So shout out to Nissan for making a pretty sweet car.
I am not sure.
This episode is sponsored by Nissan.
Oh, the Quash Kai. Okay, you're making this longer. This does not need to be longer. My God.
That's an important detail. People want to know if we totaled the car or not.
The Quash Kai ad is making it long. That's what's making it long. God. Ah. Anyway, okay, so then Sam is meeting us outside in the morning, and he has his two beautiful dogs. Was it Hugo? Hugo and Abby?
I believe that's correct.
Okay, yeah, I think that's right. And they, I mean, listen, the first thing I thought the second we rolled up on the castle property was, oh my God, what I would do to photograph a dog here. You know what I mean? Like, I would do anything to get a dog model on this property. And that, so in a way, it like really worked out for me. Because yes, even though it was squishy and incredibly busy day and we were exhausted and it was such a mess, the whole thing was such a mess. It turned out that I got to photograph beautiful dogs on that amazing property. And they had, in the UK in the spring, they have like wild bluebells in the forests. And you're really not supposed to kind of like trample on the bluebells or like go into the forests and really mess with them. But because this guy owned this amazing property, his forest, his private forest on his private property was full of bluebells. And I was like, oh my gosh, can we like shoot in there? He's like, oh my God, 100%. Yes, of course. Like this is, I was like, are you okay with me going in the bluebells though? Like, I mean, I know you're not supposed to squish them. He's like, oh my gosh, listen, I've grown up my whole entire life with these bluebells and I've played in them my whole entire life. And like, yes, these are ours. So you can absolutely put the dogs in this forest and these bluebells. And I was like, get out of here. It was so unreal. So we did photos of both the dogs in the forest running, you know, running around with like their cool sticks, like action shots. And then we did, they had this like amazing pond that overlooked like, it was, the view was unreal. We'll have to post, we'll post lots of pictures from this shoot. So we did like these dogs in front of the pond, and then we went to the final place that we went to on this little like mini shoot. I say mini, but it was still like 90 minutes or maybe 2 hours. We walked over to that amazing stone wall that I'd seen the night before when we crashed the car off the side of the
technically
road.
Technically the same stone wall that you pulled the rocks from, just exactly. Much further up.
Just further up. Yeah, exactly. And it was all covered in moss and it was just unreal with that view. And that's where the photo, like the featured photo from this, you know, for this episode is from the last bit. And that's of Abby, the brown dog, who I'm not 100% sure what her breed is, but somebody will tell me. and then I also got like Abby and Hugo together here. And like Sam was so thrilled. He was so excited. He's like, oh my gosh, this is going to be my Christmas card. Like I have a Christmas card photo. Like I was, and this was in like what, May or something, but he was like so pumped to have like upcoming Christmas card content. He was really excited and he like couldn't have been more grateful. And I couldn't have been more grateful. I'm like, this is the least that I can do for you. You saved my ass like so wildly. I would still be in the ditch right now if you didn't pull me out last night, you know, type of thing.
It was really like, unreal. It was so sweet and selfless. And like, they were, you know, in such good spirits about the whole thing, about helping us out. They were, we kept apologizing and they kept saying like, no, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. You're just like, you know, they're just out in the middle of the night doing this like ridiculous job for us, and they went so far above and beyond. The very least we could do is, one, leave them a nice review, and then two, photograph their dogs.
We did like a pretty full-on shoot and we got just amazing shots. I mean, it was kind of a gloomy, cloudy day, which is very on par for England, for like northern England or maybe any part of England. So we got these like kind of like ominous dark skies, but actually it looks awesome. It's very moody. Cool. It looks really cool. So we'll post up like a variety of stuff that we got of Abby and Hugo throughout that little shoot that we did as payment for falling off the road.
So what did you wind up sending them anything?
Yeah, I sent them I sent them the files.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a funny story and I feel kind of bad about this, but I went to order them. I wanted to surprise them with like an art piece. So I found a lab in the UK that was like kind of localish relatively to them, and I wanted to get like a medal or something made and like just surprise them. Like, number one, I don't have an address for them, but I suppose that's how it works. Like you said, there's no address. It's the name of the place. So when I like went to put the address in for shipping, it was like very confusing and I wasn't totally convinced it was going to get there. And then the next thing that happened was when it asked for payment, it asked for my bank account numbers. And I was like, I'm so confused by this. What? So I wrote them an email and I was like, can I pay you with a credit card or whatever? And they're like, no, you do a bank transfer. I don't care. I remember they asked for my bank account numbers so I could set up my bank account in their system or something. And I was like, I do a bank transfer. I was so skeeved out by that, and I felt like it was such a scam, and I was so scared that I didn't go through with it, that I ended up sending them all the digital files, like all the finished digital files. But I never did that part of it because I got really skeeved out by the no address.
That's pretty weird.
Well, you know, it's funny, though, the follow-up to that story is that I spoke with, was it Craig? It was either Craig or maybe it was Ewan from Muttley Snaps, who lives in Scotland, and Craig is originally from Guernsey in England, and they both said, like, what are you scared of? That is like 100% normal. That is the absolute run-of-the-mill way that we pay people in the UK. And I was like, are you serious? Like, I've never heard of that before. Like, I'm so American that that wasn't wildly foreign to me. And they were like laughing, going like, I can't believe you were skeeved out by that. That is like the only way we pay people. We don't do like, really do like credit cards and things like you guys do. We don't really do like, I don't know, whatever it was. Apparently it was completely normal, totally run-of-the-mill thing to ask. And I couldn't believe what a difference like culturally that was, because I was like, oh my gosh, we don't give out like our bank account numbers in the US. Like that's not a way we do payments at all. So it skeeved me out. So I don't know, maybe I should go back, and if anybody, I don't know, comment on the Instagram and tell me if you're from the UK, is that normal? Like you give like a photo lab your bank account numbers? Like that's so intense. I don't know. That feels really intense. Like how do you know they're going to protect that information? That's wild.
Yeah, that and then your social security number and your mother's maiden name.
Yeah, well, I don't know. But so it was that like credit card issue or bank account weird payment issue mixed with the fact that I didn't have a full address. And yes, I could ask him like technically what's the shipping address, but A, I don't think there is one, truly. I think it's the name of the hall and that's it, and the county or whatever. And B, I wanted it to be a surprise. Like, so I didn't want to be like, give me your shipping address. I didn't know. So I just ended up giving him all the, you know, finished digital files. I gave him a little more than I was, you know, intending, but I wanted to make sure that they got a big thank you.
Yeah. And did he hear back from him?
Yes. He was blown away. He replied to me with the most incredible message and how much it meant to him, and he'll never forget us. And then, you know,
he'll definitely never forget us.
He was like, you damn Americans. You remember, know what I mean?
remember us, the only people to drive off the road?
No, he said someone did it right before us. Remember?
Oh.
He said an old lady did it right before us who was also American. And he's like, that's why I put in the all the communications not to ride up that road, because that one woman fell off and I realized how incredibly dangerous it was.
USA. USA.
So we were the second people to ever drive off that road.
So that was the very start to a very, very long road trip, and what a start it was. Kaylee, we've gone extremely long today.
That's so on brand. So it's crazy, but we have a lot to do still tonight, so that should kind of have to wrap it.
We got to wrap it.
I hate to say it, because I like to have a last segment, but we'll save it. We'll save the last segment for a fun, like when we have a little bit of more time in the future.
Yes. Now, what does our schedule look like coming up for the summer?
Crazy. I don't know how to describe it.
How about our podcasting schedule?
I mean,
do we have to go every other week for the summer?
I want to say that that's probably prudent. Is that the word? Like, that's probably, with our schedule and the workload, it's so unreal right now. I feel like...
Listen, it's hot girl summer.
Let's just plant the seed that we might have to do that for hot girl summer.
Yeah. It's hot girl summer and we got to do hot girl stuff.
We might have to do every other... I really want to remain consistent and I really want to like check in with you guys every week. But let's just plant the seed that might have to be the case. And let's check back in. Is it realistic to check? I know we have like 5 shoots in a row next week, but can we check back in next week and then decide if we're going to do that?
We'll have to play
every
it by
other
ear.
Week. Okay. All right. Everybody just be prepared that it might have to go every other week just through the summer.
We have many more adventures to talk about.
We just have so much going on, but I love to talk to you about all the shoots we're having this summer and how those are all going and everything. So it'd be nice to be able to check in and not totally take the whole summer off. I just want to be realistic about time management and also say, hey, Shutterhound is coming up in September, at the beginning of September.
Ooh, September 5th, 6th, and 7th, to be exact, at the Mirage Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada.
So just got to throw that out there for anybody who doesn't have their tickets yet or anybody who's, you know, been thinking about it. We're posting the schedule very soon here. I'm finalizing the very last bits of the schedule. If for any reason you listen to this and you're not in the Shutterhound Facebook group, just search Shutterhound Conference and on Facebook. You'll find the group. It's private, but just send a request through and we'll totally accept you. Even if you don't have a ticket, it's okay. Just come join us and you can hang out with us in the community there and like talk about it. And that's where we're announcing all the classes. We've announced probably 80% of them so far, 85% of them. So if you are any interested in exactly the topics, exactly what each speaker is talking about, that's all there. It's all insider info. It's all very behind the scenes-y, and it's really just for people in the Facebook group. So just pop on over there and join, and you can find out all the fun secrets they're publicly announced. I'm rambling because I'm nervous about having to go every other week because I want to stick to 1 week. But I realize that it's a wild summer and we are so double booked that it might be a little hard to do every week. So we'll just check in with you guys.
Listen,
and
the people are waiting for your song to sing us out. And I think we got to hear about Hot Girl Summer.
It really isn't a bummer. It's hot girl summer. It's not a bummer. I'm just going to keep rhyming bummer and summer. I think that's all I've got. What?
And we drive around in a Hummer.
Ooh. Yeah. It's hot pink for hot girl summer.
Your favorite musician is Joe Strummer.
Who's Joe Strummer?
Right? You didn't think I could find more stuff that rhymes with ummer.
Oh, what about lumber? Like to build a house.
See, that's called a forced rhyme.
I know, but I'm okay with it. Like, I think it's comfortable in this case. There's no there's no other ummers. Strummer.
That's the one I just said.
Oh, but not Joe Strummer. Like a guitar strummer.
Yeah.
But does he do guitar things?
He does.
Oh, well, never mind then. You already got me. You got me there.
Well... We'll see you next time.
Oh, that's it. That's gonna be our Audi song.
On Adventures in
Dog Photography.
See ya. Adventures in Dog Photography with Kaylee Greer and Sam Haddix is a Dog Breath production. Follow us on Instagram at Adventures in Dog Photography and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.